Good morning. This is Bill Corbett from Riff Tracks and Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Scrolling from May 22nd, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This is it, Chip. This is it. I have to go to school today and Wednesday and Thursday. And then I don't go to school again for like 80 days.
So you know that the excitement of being a teacher really shows right here, Steve.
I love being a teacher. And I love not being a teacher for 80 days and going and doing mini retirement for the summer.
It's like Phineas and Ferb around here for a whole summer.
Yes, it is. It is so much like Phineas and Ferb. Hey, you want to go build a robot? I love it. I love it. I enjoy it. I look forward to all of our adventures. We got so many things planned for this summer.
We have a big summer plan.
Hopefully all of you have a great summer planned and you can come with us. Come with us. We're going to build a robot.
Down, get
film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to go see Deadpool 2, and as usual, I didn't.
Well, Steve, I get meetings late in the afternoon on Thursday night, and what do I do after my meetings? I go and to the theater.
Grab a movie.
Go to the theater, Steve, and watch Deadpool 2.
So when I say tell me all about it, I don't mean tell me all about it. I mean tell me very little about Deadpool 2. I will get to it eventually, I promise.
All right, so the thing that we should know is that this is not a great film. I don't think it's a great film. I think a lot of people reviewed it like it's a great film.
Okay.
But I really like Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like Ryan Reynolds, and I like the character he created, and I like all the characters that he surrounds himself with, I'm willing to accept a movie that is kind of okay.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I think the important part of it, this is that I like him, and he's very, very funny, and he just sort of owns the screen when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part is that they're willing to make fun of themselves and not take it too seriously. This is a popcorn flick.
Yeah.
There's like six or seven big scenes, and there's a bunch of stuff to stitch it together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overthink this film.
Okay.
It's just what it is. It's Infinity War was much more skilled at putting all this stuff together.
Yeah.
But they have as we were preparing for this, you said, it's a Bugs Bunny film. And
yeah,
that's exactly what this is. It's
Deadpool
a Bugs Bunny.
Deadpool is a Bugs Bunny, a loony character. Just,
sure,
hey, let's put him into this situation and let's see what he would do. We love Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was our hero in so many ways because he was so flexible. Deadpool, you can throw him into any situation. He's going to do something interesting.
All right. So what I will say is make sure you stay around to the end of the credits.
Okay.
Because there is a lot of fun that ends up happening. And that's just to say this, that the film is okay, but the build up to it was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The
marketing
was very exciting.
Yeah.
So they can keep doing these. These are fun.
Okay. Good. I will take that review and run with it. I will get to see this movie. I just didn't get a chance to see it this weekend, but I'm excited about some other films that are coming in a minute. We'll talk about in a minute. You also got to see Life of the Party. This is the Melissa McCarthy, the Rodney Dangerfield back to school gender swap, right?
Well, it isn't quite Rodney Dangerfield. No.
This is
a much better film.
Okay.
And in fact, this is a really... I was so surprised at how good this film was. I ate it up.
I think you said that about every Melissa McCarthy film.
Well, she's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the thing that she does so well is connect the story. I think that she works hard at these bombastic characters, over-the-top characters. And this one she plays, that mom from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
The secretary.
The secretary,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Edie McClurg.
Exactly.
Yes.
So she plays that meek mom who made the home.
Oh, dear. A little Minnesota coming through maybe a little bit.
A little bit, a little bit. But she, you know, she's from Chicago area, so she got a little bit of an accent.
Sure.
And what ends up happening is they drop the daughter off at the sorority house to go to school, Decatur University.
Decatur.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And so as they're exiting the sorority house after they drop the kid off like in seconds, the husband turns to the wife and says, hey, I don't want a divorce. And all of a sudden she gets angry and storms out. And there's the beginning of our story.
Wow.
Dad goes through his whatever he's going through.
His deep midlife crisis.
I won't spoil any of it. Let's just say that dad's off the deep end.
Okay.
It's awesome. And then Melissa McCarthy really shows, this movie is about two connections that are really, really important. It's about older people who've been through some of life. Mm-hmm. Melissa McCarthy, her connection as the mom, like, mom, don't come to my sorority house, to really being a foundation, an anchor to a lot of people who just need to know, hey, listen, everything's going to be okay.
All right.
Okay, so she really does that incredibly well.
Hmm.
Okay, and the other part is it's the ability for young people to bounce back from the adversity of life and just say, hey, listen, let's just drag mom along with us and get her back engaged in life.
Hmm.
Now, they do just a lot of fun with this. And what I will say is that one of the great subplots of this is Melissa McCarthy, the mom, hooks up with a college student. And they keep running into each other, and it's just...
awkward.
It's just so awesome. Usually, you know, for a guy, it would just look like it's super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's historically probably there. But for her, it's just, you know, there's the walk of shame and all sorts of fun stuff that goes on. She is a joy. This movie is a lot of fun.
Excellent.
So I recommend it. If you want a comedy, it is one of the better comedies I've seen this year.
It is amazing to me how similar that review is to every other Melissa McCarthy movie that we've gone over. The Boss, which was the Girl Scout cookie movie. You really enjoyed that.
Sure. I think that she is a fun-loving person.
Mm-hmm.
And she really owns the characters that she puts together, and they're farcical. I mean, they're farcical like Will Ferrell's farcical.
Yeah,
but it's okay. She is she's definitely, there's something very Chicago-ish.
Yeah, Midwestern at least.
Well, that definitely appeals to a wide variety of America, because it's very easy to get anchored in her characters. We can identify with them.
Right. Dig it. All right. Opening this week. This is the week. It's May 25th on Friday. It's Geek Pride Day. Disney, who just has all of my money and will continue to get all of my money, they are finally giving us Solo, a Star Wars story on Friday.
This is about Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. The story that we never wanted to find out about the character that we love and to know all the backstory.
Listen, we got Lando Calrissian in this too.
I know. And everybody that I talk to says, I would much rather have a Lando Calrissian movie.
Well, in we got Chewbacca.
Chewbacca's backstory is something that I want, sort of, kind of, as long as there's no Lumpy or Itchy involved. I don't...
A lot of Ewoks, Steve.
Oh, boy.
Lots of Ewoks.
I'm so trepidatious about this film. I have high expectations, but at the same time, I'm scared this is going to be a bad movie.
Steve, I saw Deadpool. I survived it. I can go see Solo. I can survive that, too.
Yeah, I think a Deadpool prequel would be bad. And this being a Star Wars prequel terrifies me.
Well, we'll see what ends up happening. We'll see what happens.
Rogue One was a good prequel. I enjoyed the story of Rogue One because I didn't know any of those characters. I know Han Solo. Han Solo is a friend of mine. And if you're going to change my headcanon with this movie, I'm not going to enjoy it.
You have a bad feeling about this.
I do. I do have a bad feeling about this.
All right, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. I have high expectations.
The chances of being successful
are... Never tell me the odds. Kathleen Kennedy has said that she is planning on doing a Lando Calrissian movie.
Of course.
Everybody has said this to me.
Move to Cloud City, baby.
Yes, that's a character that I need to know more about. I know Han Solo. Lando's got some stories that I would like to hear.
Well, not everybody's going to go see Han Solo on Friday. What are people going to go see, Mr. Steve?
There's lots of other options. One of my other favorite things in life, other than Star Wars, Star Wars, Chip, Star Wars. One of my other favorite things is Frankenstein. Frankenstein is the book that I got as a high school student, young, handsome Steve, Just imagine. And I really got into reading because of Frankenstein. There's a movie called Mary Shelley that's coming out on Friday. This is the story of young 17-year-old Mary Shelley inventing science fiction. She wrote the first science fiction novel.
They released it just in time to have the DVD release for October, Steve. I don't know. How did that happen?
It's amazing.
How did they pick that date out?
Seems odd that they would release it right on the same day as Star Wars. They're headed for a DVD release. There's no doubt about that.
This looks good, though.
It does look good. I will see this movie. It features Elle Fanning as Mary Shelley, and Maisie Williams is in this movie as her friend Isabel Baxter. Maisie Williams, you might know from Game of Thrones, or Lady Me from Doctor Who.
Of course. Of course I do, Steve.
You gotta watch Doctor Who one of these days. One of these days.
No, I don't. But you know what? A lot of people enjoy it. And I enjoy them, Steve. That's what I enjoy.
And Maisie Williams is a great actress. I look forward to this movie. It brings me back to the movie Gothic from 1986.
Okay.
Which is a story of Mary Shelley writing Frankenstein, but it's a horror movie where they made a monster appear and there's all sorts of really crazy imagery. I don't think this movie is going to be that.
Well, let's say that you were a domesticated person going back out in the wild, Steve. Is there any type of movie for us?
Yes. There is a movie called Feral. Not Will Ferrell, just Feral, as in I was here and domesticated and now I'm going back out in the wild. This is a straight up horror movie. Kids going out in the woods for a weekend and there's animals, and when the animals bite them, they become crazed zombie-ish creatures.
Steve, are there any movies out that maybe have a beach involved with no ocean?
Sand. I hate sand. Future World is opening this week. This is James Franco, Mila Jovovich, Snoop Dogg, and Method Man. This is basically, it's Mad Max. Just call it Mad Max.
Well, who's Mel Gibson?
James Franco.
Oh, that's right.
James Franco is definitely the Mel Gibson character in this. If you watch this trailer and don't think of Mad Max, you're doing it wrong.
And Snoop Dogg plays Snoop Dogg in this. So.
Of course he does. Of course he does. He's the comic relief, I'm sure. I'm sure that they roll up to Snoop Dogg's lair and they go, "Hey, Snoop Dogg."
Steve, I heard there's a movie about just a great big guy that uses lots and lots of fabric in his clothing.
Yeah, there is a documentary called The Gospel According to Andre. This is the story of Andre Leon Talley, a guy that I've never heard of.
Well, he's a big, tall guy.
Yeah, he grew, really
he,
tall.
Sounds like he grew up, his grandmother worked on Duke University,
mm-hmm.
and he decided, North Carolina is known for the textiles at the time, he decided that he could never get enough textile in his clothing.
So he just walks around with this huge amount of fabric.
He looks like a pyramid with the amount of fabric wrapped around his body.
It's amazing. And you should click on this trailer.
And it's always some bright, like red or something like that.
Of course it is.
He certainly is not going to be lost in any place. When he walks in, it's just this mass of cloth.
He makes an entrance. There's no doubt that this man makes an entrance. He calls himself Queen Kong. So take that as you will.
There you go. Let's learn a little bit about the fashion industry.
There you go.
Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week, and you know, it's the end of the school year.
We had homework we had to do, Steve.
Right. I told you that you had to read Renee by Jessica Eyes. This is a science fiction novel set 1,000 years in the future about a young lady who needs to find her way in a weird world.
Now, Steve, is there a way that we could get maybe deeper insight?
Absolutely.
Into this book? What can we do, Steve?
Well, we have the author, Jessica Eyes, on the phone. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. I enjoyed this novel so much. Thank you so much for writing this and for bringing it to us and coming in to discuss it with us.
You're so welcome. It's my pleasure.
So, like I said, this is a story about a young lady who is out for a jog one morning and then she falls through a time tunnel and winds up 1,000 years in the future, right?
That's exactly right.
So we should probably ask, what inspired this tale?
Okay, so I was actually out for a jog in Indiana on a trail. I just moved here. And as I was running, I have this wild imagination, so I'm always creating stories in my head. And as I was running, I was like, wow, I wonder what would happen if. And I was like, if I was pulled into the future 1,000 years. And that was actually the inspiration for the book. And I decided to just write my opening scene around that.
Wow. That is pretty amazing that you actually have a life where you are in Indiana and you go, I know, I'll write a book about being in Indiana and being dragged out of Indiana. But you're not actually, Renee is not actually dragged out of Indiana, is she?
No, she's still in Indiana. Ah. It's just not called Indiana anymore.
Don't spoil everything, Steve.
I don't think that that's really a spoiler, but we should say that we are going to go in depth on this. So those of you who haven't read this book, who didn't do your homework, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, you might want to skip some of our interview today with Jessica, because this is going to be a spoiler-filled review. So tell us, some of the themes that I read in your book are all about loneliness and hopelessness and helplessness. Is that what you were feeling when you were writing this book?
So it wasn't what I was feeling when I was writing it, but it's something that I've felt across my life. And I think it's something that people feel frequently. They feel lonely, they feel helpless. And I think it really resonates with people, because I don't really know anyone who can look back over their life and not point to a time where they felt lonely and helpless. And, you know, today there's really kind of a loneliness epidemic sweeping really the world, but primarily, you know, the United States, Europe. And so I wanted to write about that and what it feels like. But I definitely know a lot about loneliness because I used to travel so much for my work, which sounds romantic and exciting, but you do have to learn how to cope with a lot of loneliness when you're spending months abroad in different countries.
In fact, I was just reading an article this morning, and it said loneliness kills. It's like alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not nearly
as fun.
It's like smoking. Basically, what it's stating is our desire for connection something that we're going to become very in touch with. And for the next few years, we're going to start recognizing we've got to be with other people.
And it's something that Renee really finds in this future where she's dragged into the year 3000. She really finds connection with these people.
Mm-hmm. She does, with the scientists who pull her into the future. And kind of the interesting thing is that she doesn't know this because she doesn't understand the future, but the team of scientists who pull her into the future are themselves kind of the misfits of that future society. And so they kind of resonate with her in a certain way, and she resonates with them because they're all different.
And they have a sense of loneliness sometimes in the structure of how society works in the future, too, because they are encapsulated in this science lab, and they live with all of these rules and regulations, and they accept that until Renee shows up and changes everything.
Mm-hmm. It kind of is this spark that it's a catalyst, like the desire to connect with each other is there, and Renee's arrival sort of like, you know, kickstarts the fire, basically.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Renee's skin, because one of the things that we run into initially is her skin is sort of the record of her history. And she says, we carry our life in our skin. Every imperfection, scar, wrinkle, and bruise was a story. Tell us a little bit about that. That really is a beautiful sentence.
Yeah.
Thank you. So when Renee is pulled to the future, all of her skin is burned off and it's regenerated and it's perfect. And what I was trying to highlight there is that we oftentimes, particularly in our society today, we kind of think that like perfect skin is really desirable and that we want to look perfect. But the reality is that so much of our beauty and character lies in like the imperfections that we see on our skin. And skin is almost like an allegory for her as a person. It's like being pulled into the future means everything she knew and everything she was is erased, essentially. And so who is she? Who can she be? And how do you read and understand people in that context?
Yeah, it's such a deep philosophical concept that she is pulled into this world that she does not understand. She realizes everybody she knows is dead.
And she's also been stripped of her past, not just her physical past,
right?
But her physical body now doesn't carry any of her past either.
Her body is not her own in so many ways. This is really, really good science fiction, Jessica.
Thank you. Thanks.
Our dystopia expert, Pam Bedore, said something very interesting to us a couple of weeks ago, and it's really stuck out to me in all the reading that I've done since. And your book falls into the same pattern. She said that art is the best part of humanity. You use that in this writing about the future, about who we will be as humans 1,000 years from now. You said love, art, humor, creativity, and passion are what drive us. Can you tell us more about that?
In the future, the world is very sterile and it's very empty of and bereft of art. And that's something that at first Renee doesn't really notice overtly, but then she starts to become more attuned to over time. And she doesn't really understand immediately how oppressive and terrible it feels to be living in a world that is so loveless and artless and humorless. And it really tries to, what I really was trying to do there is question, what does it mean to be human? Mm-hmm. And what is the, you know, is it better to have like an ultimate peace but not have love or art or humor? Or is it better to have some conflict and to have creativity and passion? So what does it mean to be human? And how do you kind of navigate what makes like the what is the best of humanity?
And that brings me to my next favorite quote from your book. I'm here, you're here, stop feeling sorry for yourself, life is messy. That is a great message of this book. They get through this adventure. I won't spoil the adventure. The adventure is what it is. And they get through the adventure and some of the people at the end feel like that they are going to suffer as a result of the adventure, and Renee is the voice of reason and says, life is messy, get over it, we're here, let's survive.
Yeah, so I, you know, part of this, I actually think of like myself when I was younger, or some people who were raised to think, or were taught that life is this neat upward trajectory, and we're going to just move from one step to the next, to the next, to the next, and that's how our life is going to go. And so when I was writing that, I was really thinking about that, where I'm like, you know, that isn't, you know, when we teach people that, or when we imply that, or when we show that that's what life is like in the media or whatever, we're really doing people a major disservice, because that isn't what life is like. And you can't expect life to be this neat upward trajectory. You can't expect things to be neat and tidy. And so in that sense, I was kind of drawing in this like lesson I've learned in my own life, which is that life is messy, and you just have to work with that and try to live in the moment in which you're in.
So sometimes we all need a little motivation to avoid that trap of stagnation in life. There's something about being comfortable that makes life, you know, boring in a lot of ways. And is Renee better off for going through this adventure?
So that's a really good question. I can't say for sure if Renee is better off for going through the adventure. I can definitely say her science team was, though.
Yeah.
I think for Renee, it's kind of hard to say because it was so painful for her. But the people in her science team, for sure, it was that adventure was much better for them.
She changed their lives. She gave them motivation to get out of the situation that they were in and to go through the pain of this adventure to hopefully find a better life in the other place where they go.
So it's the year 3000. All right. So humans, they look and they act differently than they do today. What's your favorite thing that they do differently?
So when I was creating this dystopian future, I tried not to make it 100% evil. Because I think that that's kind of an easy way out when you're creating either like a villain or some sort of dystopian future. Things are really never 100% bad. Like it's always a little bit nuanced. And so my favorite part is when I did write some things that I actually thought were better in that dystopian future than they are now. And one of the things that I think that they do better in the dystopian future is people who lead teams have to go through a really extensive leadership training. And they're taught these like leadership lessons where you should always put the needs of your team in front of your own. You should never allow your like emotional judgment to like sway your decisions. And they have like this rule book where managers and leaders have to like memorize these like good leadership tenets, and they are supposed to always abide by them. So if they don't think they can be a good leader anymore, it's their responsibility to go to the team and say, you know, I think I need to step down as a leader because I've emotionally compromised or whatever. So that actually is my favorite part of that future dystopian people.
If you could just say those again, I'm gonna write those down.
Yeah, Chip's been working on some leadership things in his life, and being that mentor to young people. And I'm a teacher, so I do that all the time. Hopefully, we're getting those messages to the next generation.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be great.
We're working on it.
We got a thousand years.
I'm a guy. It's a work in progress all the time.
We got a thousand years before
everyone's a work in progress.
So what sorts of things are we doing today that we should stop doing to avoid those pitfalls that you see for the future?
So there are two major events that happen that like alter the current world that we live in. And one is a drought, which is wrought by climate change. And the second is a series of wars that occur because of resource scarcity And so I think that if we were to avoid this dystopian future that I'm writing about, we need to start thinking much longer term in our policy decisions and our personal decisions. So maybe we need to stop thinking about what's going to benefit us next year or in the next 5 years, but think more, you know, what's this world going to be like for our grandchildren? Or, you know, two or three generations out from us.
That's so hard to do as mortals.
Would you like to thank the baby boomers now?
Yeah, really.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
Language has changed a lot in the thousand years in your story, from today to a thousand years from now. Renee has a technological means of understanding the language, but things like irony and sarcasm and humor are kind of hard to explain in language. So have you encountered problems in communication like she does?
Actually, I have. And I would say that that's from, I used to work abroad a lot. So I worked for a media production company for a while, and I was in a number of different roles where I would be working in different countries for a few months at a time. And language is really critical. And we have these sayings that we embrace in different countries, or we have different types of humor, even intergenerational, which I'll get to in a minute. But in intercultural communication, there are things that just don't translate. There are jokes that do not translate. And so I think it's always kind of underestimated how powerful like sharing language is. One thing that, you know, if you think about just generational language, mm-hmm. I can think of, let's say, memes really started as a thing when I was kind of in college, maybe 10 years ago. And we thought memes were so funny. And, you know, the generation or two of older than us at that time did not think memes were funny for the most part. At that time, at least. And so, you know, if we were talking in memes and laughing hysterically, they were like, oh, you guys are so stupid.
It's right? That ability to discuss something without, you know, with having that background. It's like that Darmok episode of Star Trek where they're talking in these stories from the past. There's that language.
Trying to get the context of like that picture. Mm-hmm. And it means something deeper. And then, you know,
then to the other generation, it's kind of a code that you can communicate. So are you using any technology for communication across languages? I'm excited about all the different translators that are out there. I'm looking forward to the Star Trek level translations.
I use Google Translate when translating documents and stuff.
It's amazing what we can do now that compared to what we were able to do 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Google's listening. Don't worry.
That's right. I'm sure they are. All right. So one of the characters in Renee basically has, you know, some version of ESP, that ability to kind of speak in a deeper level.
To understand at a different level.
Yeah. So, yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. Do you believe individuals have a natural ability to communicate beyond just how we look each other?
The top five senses.
That's right.
Okay. So today, evolutionarily, I think that some people are much more attuned to picking up like body cues, like small little body cues that people give off. Or maybe they can just kind of like sense tension better than other people. But I don't really think that there is this like ESP in the classic sense of it today. But in the 1,000 years from now, in the future, it's different. And you'll learn why in the sequel.
See, that was the next question.
Cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there is a sequel to Renee.
There is.
Oh,
it's called Continent 7.
Continent 7. And those of us who read this know that Continent 7 is the part of the world that they escape to where the rules are very different from the rest of the world.
That's right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ah, boy. Now I am intrigued. So other than Renee, what else are you writing?
So I just had a book that I write nonfiction to. Mm-hmm. So I had... a book I edited come out called How to Feed the World.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, about food security. And then I had another earlier book come out, nonfiction, called The Communication Scarcity in Agriculture. But in the fiction front, let's see, friend of mine and I are brainstorming this kind of thriller series that we want to write together called The Society for Incredibly Reasonable People.
It stars Monty Python. No,
and then there's this other book that I've already written about a third of. It's called Wisp. It's about this young woman who works as a waitress in a bar, and she gets like sucked down this rabbit hole of like magic and adventure, and it's silly and funny too. So
that's awesome.
So where
I always have book projects going on.
Wonderful. Where can our listeners find more about the projects you're currently working on, and also we can point them to the Renee over at Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So where can we find out more information about what you're working on now?
So definitely on my website, which is jessicaeise.com. That's jessicaeise.com. I have a blog that I'm updating maybe once or twice a month. And anytime a new book comes out, I always post that there. And then I'm on Twitter as well and Facebook.
That's how you get to the future, is Twitter and Facebook. Those are the things that will survive humanity. The aliens will come down and they'll go, oh, look, here's Twitter.
For posterity.
For posterity. That's what those are for. Wonderful. And again, anyone who hasn't read the book, you can go to renee.toomuchscrolling.com and pick up a copy of this book. I really enjoyed this book. I really love science fiction and time travel. You wrote the right book, Jessica.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me to hear, and to all of you who are going to read it or have read it. It would mean so much to me if you'd consider writing a review of Renee on either Amazon or Goodreads.
Sounds wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Scroll with it.
Oh, Chip, there was news. There was news this week.
How could they release the news this week before Friday?
Before Solo?
Yeah.
Oh, this is huge.
Well, this is a big news for Chicago, Steve.
Star Wars Celebration 2019 is happening here in Chicago, April 11th to 15th at McCormick Place. This is the biggest news I've heard all week.
Okay.
Maybe all month. Maybe all year. This is huge.
There was a wedding last week, Steve. But other than that.
Those guys, congratulations to those guys that got married. Good for them.
All right. So anyway, it's going to be here in Chicago next April.
Yes. I'm saving my money now.
There are people coming from all over the world.
The list of people that will be here. Hopefully, Hopefully, I'll be standing next to a Mark Hamill at some point during this thing. I will save my money to shake hands with Mark Hamill.
So, Steve, in the fall, you'll have your Doctor Who convention. In mm-hmm. the spring, you'll mm-hmm. end up having Star Wars convention.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars.
Your life is just aligning. The stars yes. have aligned for you.
Yes. Chicago's great. They are so smart to bring this to Chicago. This is an international convention for Star Wars coming to Chicago. They were in London 2 years ago. They were in Orlando last year. They did not have a Star Wars Celebration 2018, so this is the next one.
That was the big buildup. And there are a few mm-hmm. airports here in Chicago, so maybe people can get in.
Take the Millennium Falcon.
Exactly.
You can land anywhere.
Well, except for the one place, the one field that was taken out.
Migs Field, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the mayor didn't like that field, so he, in the middle of the night, he said, hey, we're not going to have this airport here no more.
No problems there, I guess.
That's right. Friday is Geek Pride Day. Happy Geek Pride Day to all of my geeks out there. Hug a geek on Friday, but just ask them first.
Introverts, Steve? Introverts?
Maybe.
Wallflowers, maybe?
Maybe some of us are not good at hugs.
All right. Well, it's also Towel Day, Steve.
Right? It starts with Towel Day. This is the celebration of Douglas Adams and the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I will certainly have my towel, but I always have my towel. People have noticed that I carry around a towel with the number 42 on it, and they go, why do you have a towel? And I go, I'm a hoopy frood.
All right, and also, back in 1977, something else was released on the 25th of May, Steve.
Star Wars, Chip. Star Wars. It is the 41st anniversary of Star Wars this Friday. And it's
from a certain point of view, Steve.
From a certain point of view, it was four decades ago. Also, the 25th of May is, of course, the glorious 25th of May. This is from the Discworld novels, and it's such a great story about finding your younger self, time travel. It's got time travel in it. Time travel and finding your younger self and training your younger self in all of those things you wish you knew, you get to teach yourself. Great story. I recommend that.
Steve, is there a time maybe we could catch up on a bunch of podcasts that we missed?
Yeah, I've got 80 days to catch up on podcasts.
Oh, that's right.
But Memorial Day, don't forget, Memorial Day is on Monday.
What?
See what I did there?
Yes.
It's funny.
Well, anyway, the kids will be out of school, but they'll yes. also have, what we can tell them is they can have off next Monday too, right?
Yeah, they can have like a whole bunch of days off. I'm so excited. Memorial Day is on Monday. Celebrate, and thanks to all of those people who have given their lives to make it so that we can have a wonderful day like Memorial Day.
How wonderful.
Also, we've got so many things coming up this summer, but the big one so far right now, we got less than 3 weeks before Indie PopCon. This is June 8th through 10th, 2018.
All right, so if you are there on Friday the 8th,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be performing with Southgate Media Group.
Mm-hmm.
So
the podcast marathon has moved to Indianapolis.
So Rob Southgate.
The calls are coming from inside the house.
Chris Mau.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds like that we're going to be also hooking up with Mr. Nick Dorsey down there for a little game night.
Nice.
So if you're listening to that and you want to join us with that, just inbox us. We'll figure out a way to get you involved. Sounds like Nick's going to introduce us to a game called Werewolf.
Werewolf,
Steve.
Werewolf. Their castle. Why that's are you talking right. like that?
Now we're
I
also
thought you wanted to.
We're going to perform. That's right. We're also going to be performing
mm-hmm.
on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Exactly. So we're also going. We have a couple interviews lined up.
Yep.
I think we have Kyle Hickman.
Exciting.
To talk to us about.
I love
movies.
Conventions. I love going to conventions. I love meeting people. I'd love to see you there. We'll meet you there. We'll shake hands. I'll give you a bumper sticker if you want a bumper sticker. We had so much fun in Indianapolis when we went a couple of weeks ago. Let's go back.
That sounds great.
We want to thank our guest, Jessica Ives, for coming in and talking about her book, Renee. Again, you can go to our website, renee.toomuchscrolling.com, pick up a copy.
And thanks to everyone who joined us in reading this. That was yes. a wonderful, wonderful escape for us. We'll find a new one to do.
For the beginning of the year?
Well, maybe oh, we'll boy. Do a July 4th one.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Maybe a little history. Maybe a little American history.
Maybe I'll do something. We'll figure out something. I'll work
all
on
right.
it.
All right. Very good. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think so. I think if you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Go to our website, toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflum.
We'll see you in the future.